So this is the second chapter, I suppose, short podcast, on what happened on the Vipassana course. So I got a bus up to Auckland and then met the... They pick you up from Auckland Airport in a little minivan and took us... Oh, it's probably about a two-hour drive north of Auckland into the bush, really. And the setting is beautiful. It's a lovely wooden lodge and just really, really well looked after because they're volunteers who come and meditate, and they also do cleaning and cooking and all that sort of stuff for you. So while you're there doing your intro 10-day course, everything is done for you. All your meals are made and it's all completely free. But then not everything in life is certainly, yeah, I mean, it is all free, and you only have to, you are encouraged to give a donation at the end, but you certainly don't have to. So the timetable, which I don't know if I'd seen before I went up there, not that it really mattered too much, but this is the timetable, so I'll just read it out to you. At 4 o'clock in the morning, 4 a.m., there is a morning wake-up bell. Then from 4:30 until 6:30, so 2 hours, you meditate in the hall or in your room, or in my case, a tent, because the course was so booked up that I had to bring my own tent, which was fine, actually. 6:30 until 8 o'clock in the morning, you have your breakfast and then go back to bed or just chill out, whatever you like. So, yep. And then from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock, there's group meditation in the hall. And there are 3 group meditations during the day, and once you get on in the course, they encourage you to try and sit completely still, cross-legged, completely still, for that time. And that was a bit of work, actually. That was quite hard. Then from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock, you meditate in the hall or in your room, according to the teacher's instructions. Then from 11 until 12, you've got your lunch break. Then from noon until 1 o'clock in the afternoon, there is rest and interviews with the teacher. So if you want to ask the teacher questions about what's happening, you know, when you're trying to do whatever part of the meditation technique that's not working for you, then you can ask questions. But it's not, you know, it's not a... You know, how was the pub session last week, or what's your favorite film? Like, it's not a chat. So, and that's the only time that you're allowed to talk. So, yeah. So then, from 1 until 2:30, you meditate in the hall or in your room. 2:30 to 3:30, group meditation again. 3:30 until 5, you meditate in the hall or in your own room, according to the teacher's instructions. 5 until 6, you've got your tea break. 6 until 7, group meditation. 7 until 8:15, teacher's discourse in the hall, which basically means a video is played, and it talks about, you know, what you studied that day and what you're going to be practicing the next day. Then 8:15 until 9 o'clock at night, group meditation again. 9 until 9:30, you can ask questions in the hall. And then 9:30. You go to back to your room and lights out. So just looking at that, I hadn't really looked at it before. You got two. Sorry, I was going to pause it here. Yep. So that's 10 3/4 hours of meditation during the day. If you do them all now, I mean, they don't follow you around checking that you're meditating. I mean, you can go back to your room and close the door and go to bed if you want, or whatever you want, but that's what you tried to do, and I basically tried to do as much of that as I could, really. That, you know, I was there to do it properly, I suppose. So that's the timetable. The setting, absolutely beautiful, set in the bush. There's a lovely little stream there with which I discovered had glowworms in it towards the end, which is really nice. And yeah, I found it pretty easy. The silence, so there's the idea of a noble silence, so it's not just you have to be silent,
if you look at someone in the eyes and say nothing and make facial expressions or whatever, you can convey quite a lot of information. It's certainly communication. And so the idea of noble silence is that you really withdrew into yourself, I suppose. And basically it meant that, you know, you kept your eyes down as much as you could, I suppose, and really tried to not interact with other people. So yeah, I didn't realize what a stress complete silence could be on your brain. I did think there was, especially at the end, you know, because I moved into mania, I suppose. I think that's what happened over the, certainly towards the end of the course, and I thought there was very little in the way of duty of care. I thought that they should have identified that I was basically off my head by the time I left, and I should not have been, I should have been encouraged to stay and come down, or, you know, they should have called, you know, made sure I checked in with a doctor or something when I got back to Auckland or whatever, but none of that happened. I thought that was very, very poor. I was very disappointed. Anyway, and I mean, yeah, you might, again, it would be understandable that people might think, Patrick, you were an idiot to go on that course, and you should have known better, and really it's your own fault that you got into that. And yes, I do, to some extent, think that's probably true, and obviously you have to take responsibility for your own actions. But had I known that, you know, there was any chance that this might have happened, I probably still would have done it, but at least I might have done some shorter meditation courses first, which I think they should encourage you to do. Yeah, I was. Anyway, this is about what happened on the course, not the rest of it. So yeah, sitting for hours at a time, keeping still is that's painful. And I used a sort of a kneeler to begin with. You could, or and some people had little chairs that they sat on, and that was fine. So the first 3 days, you're concentrating on feeling the air going in and out of your nose, trying to be able to pinpoint the breath just as it enters and exits your nose. So imagine sitting, meditating for 10 hours a day, so 30 hours in total, and you're just concentrating hard as you can, really, on the bottom of the air just coming in and out of your nose. Yeah, maybe it would send anyone mad. I don't know. But yeah, so that's and you do get better. And it's quite amusing, really. I suppose your brain doesn't really like being that quiet. And I don't know how many of you have tried to meditate, but or any of that sort of stuff, but when you try and quiet your mind and you know, just you know, when you do meditate, you will find that past memories or thoughts or whatever it is will come and sort of interfere and say, hello, why don't you think about me for a while? And I mean, there were certainly people breaking down into tears. That happened quite a bit, and some people even left the course, which they really try to not, you know, they can't stop you physically, but they really don't want you to leave the course. Anyway, then, so that's Anapana meditation, I think it's called, and then you move on to feeling sensations on your body. So once you've actually managed to focus your mind to the point where you can feel this breath coming in and out of your nose, then you try to, then you start at the top of your head, effectively, and just work down your body, feeling the sensations that are there, and trying to sort of pass your awareness through your body. Now, I have a bad back from playing squash, and so in a way, possibly, and this is definitely a bad thing of my point, but, you know, I was in some respects, looking for healing, I suppose, maybe? Certainly, because one of the things that they said, or what I understood they said, which is wrong, I think, but, was that your senses, touch, taste, smell, all that stuff, those senses that I always forget, the senses give rise to sensations, and your brain interprets the sensations, and these sort of give rise to feelings, you know, happy or sad, or and your negative memories, you know, breaking your arm, relationship issues, whatever, they can leave physical scars, is what they were saying. So by letting go of your mental baggage, you can heal yourself of your physical woes. Now, this may not be what they were saying, but certainly what I got into my head. And, I mean, I was towards the end, and I still think this is possibly true, I don't know, that like I also had a finger injury, and when I was sending my awareness through, you know, when I was meditating, I could feel distinct points along, sort of connecting my finger through my wrist and elbow and back of my shoulder, I think, and then up to my neck, and I could feel there were, like, distinct points, if you like, distinct nodes where I was, you know, I would feel that there was, you know, some sort of something not very nice going on there. It's kind of weird. Yeah, and the thing is that I don't know where the crossover is between sort of sanity, normality, and this sort of elevated manic mood. I don't really know where that crossover happened. I mean, certainly by the end of it, I was having a wicked time, really. I was able to, you know, I was sending these waves of, all I can talk about is what it felt like. Waves of energy or my awareness, like, through my body, up and down and up and down, and then I sort of think of putting a big sheet of glass behind your back and then just pushing it through your body and then straight out and, you know, horizontally through you, if you like. Except it wasn't it wasn't painful, it was lovely. It was, you know, this just warmth, really. You could sort of feel like a little laser just moving through you. It was amazing. I mean, I had a great time, really, learning all that stuff, or trying to, you know, doing this meditation, and, that was really what happened on the course. 10 hours of meditation every day, really great food, delicious, vegetarian food, tea with honey, and, just delicious, lots of fresh fruit, and, it was good. That stuff was nice, but, again, the total isolation from other people, and like you weren't allowed to bring books or diaries or MP3 players or laptops or anything. I mean, you were there to meditate, and that was it. So, not that anyone would have stopped you, that there was no searching going on. I don't remember being searched. But yeah, you certainly, that would be against the spirit of the thing. And really, you know, if you're going to go and do it, you may as well do it well. But then, maybe a book would have saved me. So that was really the what happened on the course in a sort of a normal way, I suppose. That was, yeah. So now we'll talk about what happened on the last night of the course.